Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. And I am joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations, and Steve Jordahl, reporter extraordinaire and news anchor for American Family News. You often hear Steve doing his news broadcast as we are breaking between segments, and he joins us at 11:05 just about every day to
still waiting to get invited to the Learning University thing, but
you keep mentioning that.
There's a lot of people that haven't been invited to that, so don't get your feelings hurt.
Well, you know, maybe we'll keep it. You're a funny guy. I bet you can come up with some good stuff.
I want to be invited because I'm wanted, not because I asked. So
we need to wait like a couple of weeks so it's genuine.
That's right.
Yet you keep asking, Steve. You keep asking. But only if you want to. Hey, listen, I know what that's like. That was the way I asked a lot of girls out when I was in high school. But I don't want you to go out with me because you feel sorry for me.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. I was not that pathetic. I was close, but not quite that pathetic. So, all right, Steve, what kind of news we got?
Okay, let's talk about the latest medical disease that's the hot trend now, if a disease or whatever can be a trend. We're hearing from parents of teenagers, mostly young women, who are suffering from what's called rapid onset gender dysphoria. So the transgender person that decides they want to change their sex, they are clinically diagnosed usually with what's called gender dysphoria. Rapid onset are kids that have never in their life expressed a desire to change their gender. The boys never wanted to wear dresses. The girls never wanted to, be boys or whatever, and all of a sudden in high school, they are deciding that they want to change. And there's many thoughts as to why. The people who are pro-transgender kind of avoid the topic because it doesn't make sense.
According
to their narrative, their political narrative. And I've talked to a lady we're going to hear from in a second who says that, all teenagers kind of go through this angst.
Right.
Every teenager does. And now one of the ways that they're thinking or that they're often encouraged to solve it is by changing gender, that this is somehow going to make their life better. What these parents are finding, though, is that the whole system is set up against the parent intervening to try to help. So at school, the school will encourage, and especially colleges will encourage these young, mostly women again, to do this. They might send them to Planned Parenthood, who will give them start them on hormones immediately without any kind of medical diagnosis. Just if you want to be transgender, that's good for our liberal outlook, so we're going to start you on these hormones, and parents don't have to be notified. They're finding that the laws in many states that, we talked about these counseling laws where you can't counsel people that don't want to be gay anymore. You can't counsel people now in some of these states that don't want to be transgender anymore. And so parents who want to get help for their minor children along the lines of let's talk about this, see why perhaps this might not be a good idea, are not able to find anybody to help them. Churches, some of the more liberal churches are starting to now sanction these kind of sinful things that are going on. It's terrible, but these parents are wondering what in the world to do. And I told you I spoke with somebody. I talked with, if I could, oh, there it is, Dr. Michelle Cretella is the head of the American College of Pediatrics. It's a conservative group of doctors, but these are pediatricians that see this, and I wanted to let you hear what she had to say about what's going on here.
It is an adolescent who is doing his or her job of trying to figure out who they are, and they latch on to this false identity. Society is actually separating these kids from their safety net. It's literally going out after these kids, isolating them, allowing them to self-diagnose, and then putting them on this medical pathway. Now they are stuck with a permanent 5 o'clock shadow, a male-sized Adam's apple, deep voice, and infertile and without breasts. They are angry and permanently scarred.
Yeah, listen, this is a growing problem. But let me just start off by saying this. What Michelle Cretel, and she's outstanding on this issue, what she's pointing out is the progressive mindset. The progressive mindset, and this goes all the way back to the start of the previous century, actually even a little before that. The progressive mindset is the only ones qualified to make important decisions are experts. Okay, so when what you just talked about, Steve, is exactly where we're headed. Parents, you will increasingly come in second because educators and psychologists and psychiatrists and
lawmakers,
they're the experts. They'll make the call. You're out. Mm. And we're increasingly seeing this on issues. And this is it's a bull rush. I mean, they're going to steamroll parents. So there are going to be parents whose kids are confused. They're going to think they have options. They're going to find out their state went ahead, completely circumvented parents, passed these laws. You're going to find out your kids getting these. Some of them are hormone blockers, so the kids do not mature in the biological way that they are supposed to. Some are given hormones on the other side to try to enhance the opposite gender in developing. All of this is going to be done without your knowledge. You find out, and they're going to say, too bad. We have the right to do it, just like they did with abortion, where they take, in some states, we'll take your daughter and give her an abortion without your knowledge or permission. Folks, you better wake up. The progressive the progressive movement in this country is not just about technological progress. It is about putting, quote-unquote, experts in charge, acing you out of the decision on your own children.
Yeah, government in charge even of your how to teach, how to raise your children. And, talk about one thing that'll make residents flee these states.
Right.
Stuff like this. I'd be out of there in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start taking over the role of parent. This isn't one of those things where they turn 18 and they go do their own thing.
Right.
We're talking about kids here in middle school. Having hormones put in them, that should cause an uproar and should cause people to move out of that state, but you just never know.
You look at the kind of things that are happening. You hear these horror stories, but they are increasingly more widespread. The cross-dresser doing story time at the library.
Yes.
Teaching sex education, handing out condoms to fifth graders in some districts. You find the abortion angle, teaching them about same-sex marriage. Now with this, listen, it is not unusual for kids to be confused about their gender or unhappy about their lives. And then you tell them, well, it may be because you're not the right gender in the right body. These kids, as Michelle Cretella was saying, they latch on, Steve, to this narrative that gives them some hope that my pain or my confusion or my unhappiness can be altered because I'm in the wrong body. In reality, no, kid, your body's going through transitions, and this is natural to feel a little bit depressed, a little bit blue. Let's help you get through that. But permanent change for these kids, this is a crime against nature, and I hope we come through this. But we're going to be looking back and seeing the wreckage of these kids' lives.
And of course, the faulty thinking in the experts should be in charge. Model is that as a parent, you are the ultimate expert on your child.
Right.
You know them better than any doctor ever will and everything. So, I agree with you. And the tragedy is that no one is really mistaking this for medical stuff. This is all political.
Right,
this is all in order to enhance the narrative that gender is fluid, that there's no difference between men and women. So, and Dr. Cretella certainly points this out. I didn't include that part in what I brought this morning. But she says they're doing this for a political gain, and they're ruining kids' lives permanently in the process. They just don't care.
Listen, to me, it is no different than our last segment when we were talking to Dr. David Prentice from the Charlotte Lozier Institute, where this gene editing is going on, and technically They are experimenting on babies.
Right.
And this is what's happening with the gender, transgender movement. They are experimenting on kids to find out whether this works. And the, as I said, the wreckage is going to be, it's going to be a tragedy that we're going to be hearing about for decades, I think.
And I asked her in the interview, what percentage of these kids will regret this later on? And it's such a new phenomenon that there is really no scientific, no study material on that yet. But she says, anecdotally, she's hearing all over the place that these girls get to 20 or 21 and they realize they made a mistake. But by this time, like she said, they're permanently, they may have had double mastectomies.
Right.
They may have, they've taken hormones so that their body is now so confused about
it's past puberty.
Right.
They're not going to change after they've tinkered with it. And let me just say one other thing. My understanding is that, and I don't know what the suicide rate or the rate of what they call suicide ideation. That means
you
thoughts of suicide.
Right.
I'm not sure what it is in the general population, but it's in the 40s for transgender people.
Yeah, it's way
higher.
These
are hurting people.
They are.
They're not to be mocked. They're not to be rejected. The church has to find a way to love them and understand. To me, it's no different. This is my opinion. I'm not a mental health professional, but a girl who looks in the mirror and thinks she's fat, you know, and she's not, and then has an eating disorder, she's actually seeing something that's not there. And I think with some of these kids, at least, that's the part of what they're going through,
yeah.
And that should be the approach of the mental health profession.
Doctor,
but the APA
the same thing.
Has been taken over by radicals who, as you said, believe that there is no such thing as male and female.
Anorexia and cutting is the other thing she mentioned.
Yes.
These are all things that mostly girls, young girls, teenage girls deal with as they try to navigate through life.
Right.
And for whatever reason, they seem to be more susceptible than guys. But it's a tragedy regardless of.
Well, we'll keep covering it, letting our listeners know what's happening.
I'm sure that last night, Ed, you watched the Screen Actors Guild Awards. I'm sure that because you're such a big TV
I'll tell you how much of it I watched.
Yeah.
My wife was watching. She has some DVDs, Doc Martin, which
oh,
is a
yeah.
favorite
yeah.
British show. Very, very, very fond of that show. So she was done. She turned off the DVR, DVD player. I was writing on my computer, and the award ceremony came on the channel.
Yeah.
And I said, click. That was how much I watched.
Well, then you might have gotten a taste of it in that little bit. But I thought it was interesting. One particular award went to Patricia Arquette, who's a very good actress, actually. And she did this mini drama called Escape at Denmora, and she got an award for it. And during the award, she thanked her, everybody that she needed to thank, and then she said this.
Thank you, Robert Mueller, and everyone working to make sure that we have sovereignty for the United States of America.
Robert Mueller, of course, the Mueller. Robert Mueller, the investigation.
That doesn't help. You know,
when you mispronounce it.
He's Hollywood, and we've all mispronounced Mueller's name at a time or two, but you get up on a national platform like that, and you want to avoid the you know, the accusation that you're just another dumb bimbo that's acting in Hollywood. What do you know? Well, that kind of thing doesn't help.
Does not help.
At this stage, mispronouncing
Robert Mueller.
His name. Mueller.
But what
Mueller.
I was. Mueller? Mueller? Anyone? What I was. That's a reference to a movie from the 80s.
Walker. Good.
Yes.
Good. I was about 10, 15
Walker,
years behind on that.
Walker's just really curious about it.
Well, we'll talk about that later. But what I really thought was interesting is that she said thank you to Robert Mueller, and then she said, and to everyone working to make sure that we have sovereignty for the United States of America. My thought is, what exactly does the wall accomplish? It gives the United States sovereignty.
Right, yeah. Over its own borders.
Control over its own borders.
So Patricia Arquette, she's in favor of the wall,
I think
then.
She must be.
And she's in favor of Hillary Clinton not getting money from Russia while she's selling America's uranium. Because after all, that threatens America's sovereignty.
She must be.
She must be.
Yeah.
I think,
I'm sure she's consistent.
You know, I didn't think we'd be on the same page, but I kind of like her.
Yeah. look for that. Along those same lines, you may have seen this, folks. The San Antonio, Texas, what is it? The the name of the San Antonio paper is escaping me right now. But anyway, it's the Austin American-Statesman. And it is reporting that about 95,000 people who are not U.S. citizens are on the voter rolls in Texas, and about 60,000 of them, 58,000 of those, probably cast a ballot in one or more Texas election. And all we hear from the Democrats is voter ID is keeping good people from voting. It's you know, the Republicans, all they want to do is to make sure that, you know, minorities can't vote. But what we, what conservatives really are looking for is this. And you got to know, every time I see a story that says,
Vermont, we only had one illegal alien that was ever on the rolls, and he didn't vote.
How do you know, first
right.
of all?
That's not a very good Vermont accent.
I was a perfect Vermont accent. but 60,000 people, illegal aliens, voted
That's baffling.
In Texas.
And they and the Democrats want to tell us illegal voting is not a problem?
I mean, that's, you know.
That's in a conservative state.
Yes.
Law and order state.
So you wonder that Beto O'Rourke was so close to Ted Cruz. Does this play a factor? You know, listen, the only minority I know of that conservatives want to keep from voting are illegal immigrants. So when they yes. say we need to have voter ID laws, but see, this is also a problem as progressives around the country, the radical left, want to have same-day registration.
Yeah. yeah.
But we'll get you registered and we'll get you down to...
And then ballot harvesting.
And ballot harvesting.
Like post-election ballot counting, going to fetch ballots after the election day.
Yes.
You know, this is so... You know, we get in trouble if we do stereotypes, especially with like blacks and whites and Hispanics and whatever. But the left never gets in trouble over this. That's so stereotypical of them to say that, well, you're gonna suppress minorities. So what you're saying is minorities can't get driver's licenses?
Yeah.
How much that's stereotyping to the
You ever seen the man on the street? Man on the street interviews? I've seen a couple of these now where they go to inner cities, they find ordinary black people walking, and they say, listen, do you have a problem getting a driver's license or an ID? And they say no. And they ask them, do you think, and they would talk about the voter ID laws and every single one. Now, maybe they're picking the right, you know, picking and choosing, yeah. cherry picking the responses. But most of the ones that I see, they go, no. And it's insulting to imply that I can't get, that I'm not smart enough to go get an ID so I can get
exactly.
registered to vote.
And in the states that there are voter ID laws, most of them provide public transportation to the DMV to get a driver's license.
Yeah.
Or an ID card, whatever you want to call it.
Well, that is disturbing, and I think that number is obviously only going to increase, and it's going to increase in states like Texas and California that have large immigrant populations, a large percentage of which are probably illegal.
I wish California ran the numbers.
Well, that's
I know
the
they
thing,
won't,
that,
but
these
can
states,
you imagine?
You say it's going to increase, but we don't even know what it is now.
58,000
right.
yeah. in Texas are voting, and they're not here legally.
And that's what
I
they know.
California's over 100,000.
It probably is. And of course, what the latest trend in California and liberal cities like San Francisco is to allow them purposefully to vote
yes.
in local elections, saying that somehow they will not be able to vote for the president. They
right.
can give them a different ballot.
Talk
or just
about
say
foreign meddling in elections.
Right. But they are allowing them to vote.
Well, here's a good idea. Here's what conservatives in the state of California should do.
Deport them all?
No. Well, I mean, maybe that too. But they should go to court. They should go to court and sue because their vote is being canceled out by illegals. And I think we would get a good decision from the Ninth Circuit Court
yeah,
of Appeals.
Sure.
I'm sure they would agree.
They would.
But, you know, on a serious note, this should bring questions about the recent elections. And are those elections legitimate? You know? I mean, those have all been certified, but what if some of the illegal votes caused one of the candidates to go over the top?
So right? What you're saying is that the state is like the referee in the Saints-Rams game, and the illegal aliens are coming and cutting off the legitimate voters.
Whatever analogy you want to use, I just know.
And he keeps using the same analogy.
60,000 illegal votes.
That is
if
something.
I was a candidate in a county and I thought my opponent, Democrat, Republican, won because 3,000 illegal immigrants voted for him, I'd want the election rehashed.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we're going to – I don't want people out there to think that we are blind to the fact that Kamala Harris announced for president. I'd like to pick that up tomorrow because I got some things that I'd like to lighten things up with a bit now as we've talked about illegal aliens.
So you want to talk about –
Tomorrow we'll talk about Kamala.
And I would like for you to tomorrow find out if it's Kamala or Kamala.
It's Kamala.
Kamala?
Kamala.
Because I was told when I read up on it that it's like Pam.
Pamela.
Kamala. Well, then it's Kamala.
Well, I guess it would be Kamala.
But see, now I'm confusing it. All right, let's. So you want to lighten things?
Well,
up
Well, yeah, just a couple things. So, I don't know if you've heard about this new internet sensation. It's how they have these challenges. A while ago it was eating laundry pods or whatever.
Oh yes.
Well, they now have something called the Bird Box Challenge.
There was that thing with the ice water on the
ice bucket challenge. Yeah, right. Okay. Right. And that was actually to raise some money for some good stuff. But the Bird Box Challenge, Bird Box was a movie with, believe it was Sandra Bullock.
It was Sandra Bullock.
And she had to go blindfolded everywhere with her kids and everything because it was like a Medusa thing where if she looked this predator, this alien, this scary thing in the eye, it would hurt her. So she's doing everything in the movie blindfolded, and now the challenge is for people to do things blindfolded. Well, I want to have you listen to what the police said in one of these districts. This is cut 11.
Well, the next viral challenge is upon us, where everyday people perform mundane tasks while blindfolded for the amusement of other people based on an overhyped movie. And thus far, it's been things like folding laundry or exercising or eating, and it really hasn't been that dangerous. But inevitably, somebody's going to do the monumentally stupid thing that is driving while blindfolded. We shouldn't have to say this, but we're gonna. Don't drive blindfolded.
And someone did. Oh, a 17-year-old girl in Utah was riding around with a 16-year-old passenger, and I have now looking at the pictures of two destroyed cars because she was driving blindfolded.
Well, no one got hurt, though, right?
No one got hurt.
Okay, good, because I was about to question what you consider to be a lighthearted story, but
yeah, no.
Seriously, this 17-year-old with her 16-year-old friend, was it?
Yep.
They thought it was going to be a good idea to drive blindfolded. Now, this is a Netflix movie or series.
It is.
It's on Netflix, which was to me telling that Netflix put a warning.
They did.
On this show that you should not do anything blindfolded. Understanding that their program could influence the behavior of people, but they won't pull 13 Reasons Why,
right.
Which some suspect has led to teenagers committing suicide. So let me put a downer on
and,
this.
There you go.
But suicide, I would argue, is a much more, it's obviously much more, I guess you could say, tragic, obviously. But at some point, suicide is a much more fragile topic. That because it's you get into people's emotions and stuff, but this I blame that on the kids.
Oh sure,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the funniest home videos where they say "Do not try this at home." I'm thinking,
yeah,
you don't have to tell me.
You've got to be told.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
And from my point of view, if you want to fold laundry blindfolded, go for
but
it.
But to your point, Ed, Netflix is admitting that they bear some responsibility.
Right.
They understand that their shows do influence
that
behavior.
People will mimic things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although this is. There was something called the Darwin Awards.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the human race basically purges the dumbest of us from among us.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things that kind of happens. All right. That's all the time we have, folks. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Bye for now.